Just an announcement from my side. Wednesday, the 10th of August, that is not this coming Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, as church, we're coming together again at church. So there won't be cell groups that evening, Wednesday, the 10th of August. We are going to do a workshop together. So I want to ask the cell groups to please be here for that. Yeah, and this morning I'm talking about the body of Christ. And what I want to do is I'm going to start off with a couple of questions. And the reason why I want to do that is because if I look at Jesus in the way that he came to people, is he liked to ask questions. And you know, the reason for that, I believe, is that if someone asks us questions, not just tell us, you know, it must be like this, that kind of stuff, but if we get that questions, a lot of times it makes us think. And a lot of times it helps us actually to come to a place where we need to realize that we, in some areas, maybe we need to renew our minds a little bit. So this morning I want to start off with asking a couple of questions, and you don't have to put up your hand. You can, if you want to say something, you can just share it or say it this morning. So I want to start off by asking the question, who or what are the body of Christ? Who or what are the body of Christ? Jy mag nie antwoord nie. We are. Okay, who are we? Believers, born again Christians, church. Okay. So can we say that the body of Christ is the church? I see Jesus. I see uncertainty. I'm just asking questions. We'll get to scriptures in a while. Easy one. Who is the head of the church? Jesus, yeah. I was afraid that someone's going to say the pastor. But Jesus is the head of the church. And so do you think the idea is that you have to be part of a church to be part of the body? Like that or like that? Okay, most people think that you should to be part of the body, that it's you should be part of it, the church. And what do you think is the purpose of the church? Reach the lost, building kingdom, something about discipleship in the back. Yeah. Okay, so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at a couple of scriptures, and I believe that when we're done with the scriptures, you know, if we were in school now, then after the sermon and we ask the questions again, everyone will be like, I know that one, you know. So the first scripture we're going to go to is Colossians 1 verse 18, and this one basically answers like 3 out of the 5 questions. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. That first part, he is the head of the body, the church. So what it's actually saying there is that Jesus is the head of the church, or the head of the body, but he's saying of the body, the church. So the body of Christ is the church. When we read scripture, and when whether you read about the body of Christ or whether you read about church, it's exactly the same thing. Do you have to be, one of those questions that I asked, do you have to be part of the church to be part of the body? According to the scripture, yes. So I think the idea that God has for all of us is that he's actually inviting us to become part of his church. So the body of Christ is the church. Now the area I want to focus on this morning is more on the purpose of church than church itself. Because there's a lot of scriptures we can go to, and if we want to talk about the thing of, but are we really supposed to be in church? Is church really God's plan for us and all of that kind of stuff? I mean, I just And think about Paul, for instance. Now, except for Jesus, I think Paul was one of the guys in the Bible that was the most outspoken. But, you know, he was just really one of those guys in the Bible that, if I think about him, I think he just went for everything and anything, and nothing could hold him back. I see him as this mighty warrior or a mighty man of, really a mighty man of God. But even him, when Jesus appeared to him and struck him with blindness and everything, he didn't receive anointing there and immediately went out and go preach and start his own church and stuff like that. The moment God appeared to him, what he did, he sent him to who? The church. To do what? To equip him for the work of the ministry. And what happened next? The church sent him out. To do what? To plant more churches. So you see, we can spend our whole morning in going into a lot of scriptures about church and the important thing about church and how we can see that church, with its structure and everything, is really God's plan of reaching the world and reaching the lost. But what I really want to focus on this morning, like I said, is the purpose of the church. And why I think that is so important is because if we don't know the purpose of the church, how will you know your purpose? Because who is the church? We are the church. So if we don't know and don't understand the purpose of the church, you will not know and understand your purpose. You need to understand the purpose of the church to know your purpose. So we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12. You can open your Bibles there. We're going to read a couple of verses from verse 12 as well. First Corinthians 12 from verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body through many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. I just want to stop there for a moment. We're going to carry on now. But I think the important thing to realize here is if we look at that, especially that last two verses, what we can see very clearly is God telling us through his word that you are part of the body. If you invited Jesus into your life, he became, if I may call it this way, you became part of the family, which makes you part of the body. And what he's saying there is whether you feel that you belong there or not, it's not changing the fact that you're part of the body. And I really believe that God has made all of us with a sense of belonging. I really believe that all of us want to know and want to feel that you belong somewhere. And I really believe that when God made us, he put that sense of belonging, that he put it inside of us. That the whole thing of, but I want to belong somewhere. What is my place? Where do I fit in? I believe the reason why he did that is because he wants us to be part of his church, to realize that we belong in church, in his church. That's why he put that sense of belonging inside of us. And I think maybe with all of us, at some stage in our life, we get to a place where you feel, but I don't fit in, where you feel that I don't belong here. And that doesn't mean that because of that feeling or anything like that, but now you're not part of the body. You're still part of the body. And if you find yourself in a place like that, whether it's through something that happened or whatever, but you might decide to pull back a little bit, not to be involved, just to pull back, put yourself separate from the rest of people, He's still part of the body. The only ineffective part of the body. But you're still part of the body. And you see, that's why it's so important for all of us to be able to get to a place where we belong to church, where we get involved in church. 1 Corinthians 12, carry on from verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. Can carry on in a moment again. So what we see there is God arranged the members. So what it means is that it's so important for all of us to realize that I can't just stand up this morning and decide, okay, I think I'm going to be an ear. You know, I'm going to be the big listener in church. God has chose what you're going to be. When God made you, he made you with a plan. He put a purpose inside of you. And he decided back then when he made you, he decided how he's going to use you in church, in his kingdom. God made that call, but he made that call for all of us. So all of us really belong there. And it's important, I think, for all of us to, I think that's why it's so important. A lot of times we look at other people, we look at what they're doing, and we think, but yes, if only I can be like that. If only I can do that. And I think a lot of times it's actually Satan that's showing us other people and what they're doing, because he's trying to remove from me and you our purpose. Because you're not called to be someone else. You're called to be yourself. But now a lot of times we keep our eyes and our focus on other people instead of on Christ. And we feel, but yes, if I just compare myself to that person, I'm not making it. But you're not supposed to be that person. See, if I may say it, you're not supposed to make it if you compare yourself to that person. You're supposed to compare yourself to Christ. You're supposed to find your identity in Christ and hear from him where does he want you. What did he plant in you? What does he want to use you for? Because you've got a purpose. But your purpose is different than the purpose of the person sitting next to you. So stop comparing yourself to other people and start comparing yourself with Christ. And allow him that whatever he put in you when he made you, allow that to come out. Verse 19. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. I want to say, if you think about that, if you hear that, I think it's important for us to realize that your effectiveness as part of the body is locked up in your ability to work with other people. Because if any of us are standing on our own, trying to be the body of Christ, we're not going to succeed. But the moment you are able to work with other people, to work with the rest of the body, it's then and there that you will become effective. It's then and there that you will be able to see fruit in your own life and in the lives of people around you that maybe you haven't been able to see before. So your effectiveness, like I said, as part of the body, are determined by your ability to work with other people. And that's really that place of dying in self, where Christ invites us to die in ourselves so that he can be visible through us. Because, I mean, let's face it, it's much easier doing something on your own than doing it with other people a lot of times, isn't it? You know that slogan of, if you want something done right, you do it yourself. So you rather just do everything yourself, and then you don't have to struggle with other people, and because now they're doing it wrong, nothing of that. But your ability to be effective is locked up in that relationships with the people around you, in how you can work together as a team. Because the moment we start to work together in unity, we'll be able to bear fruit that will last. Verse 22, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts are not required. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration of various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? See, different kinds of gifts to different people. And verse 28, and you can read that three words with me. And God has appointed where? In the church. Apostles, prophets, all those kind of things. But he appointed them in the church. Because that's where we need to start to live out our gifting. So I'm going to carry on to Ephesians 4. The six verses I want to read there. You can open there if you want to. Ephesians 4, we're going to read from verse 11. When we talk about the fivefold ministry, this is normally the scripture we will go to. From verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Who's the body of Christ? The church. So God gave the fivefold ministry to build up the church, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry and to build up the church. So who's the saints? It's everyone that received Jesus. So if you have received Jesus, you are one of those saints. What's supposed to happen with you, if I may call it that way? To equip the saints for the work of the ministry, you need to be prepared for ministry. The purpose of the church is to prepare you for ministry. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone coming to church is going to full-time ministry. I mean, wherever you are working, God can use you for ministry purposes right there. A lot of times people think, yeah, but so all of us at some stage, we must quit our jobs and go full-time in the ministry. No, that's not what it's saying. Some people are called for full-time ministry. But all people are called to be equipped for the work of the ministry. Verse 13 and 14, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. That two verses explain why we need to be equipped, why we need to be discipled. So what it's actually telling us, we can go to church, but if we're not going to get discipled, if we're not going to get equipped, what is going to happen? Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. You see, if we are not being discipled, in the end of the day, what's going to happen is whatever people will tell us, we're going to believe that. And today you're going to believe this. Tomorrow you're going to believe that. It's going to be like there's no foundation in your life. And I can tell you, you won't be able to raise up people around you and to disciple other people if you are not being discipled. That's why we will always be in a place, and I really think always, where on the one end we will receive, but on the other end we will give. I don't really think on this earth that we will ever get to a place of where we will be able to say, but I've arrived. Now I'm only giving, I'm not receiving anymore. I think we will always receive and gift both at the same times. Verse 15 and 16, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. When each part is working properly, that's what will happen. So if each part is not working properly, it's not going to happen. If each part is not working properly, we can come together as church and play church, but we won't be discipled and we won't disciple others. Therefore, it is important that each member or each part works properly. It's talking about effectiveness, about how effective are we really. Because as a body or as a church, part of the bigger group, we can only be effective and fulfill our purpose if each of us walks into that place, into that calling or into our own purpose. So all of that is, I think, is quite a mouthful if you think about all the scriptures. But I think it's important for us at the end of the day to just come to a place and where we can say, okay, but let's get practical about this. What does all of this mean? What does all of this mean to me? And I think to sum it up is basically the body of Christ is the church. And God is calling us all to a place of becoming part of His body, where we can live out that sense of belonging, where we can realize I belong here, and God has a purpose for me here. In the same way, we can say, okay, so if I'm there and I'm not involved, yes, I'm still part of the body, but I'm an ineffective part of the body. And God is calling us to more than that. Because you see, there will be a day for each of us where God will ask me and where He will ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? Because I made you with a purpose. Because there's something I want to do through your life. That's the purpose I've put inside of you. What did you do with that? And then we won't be able to, you know, the person next to me, or, you know, I got offended at church because the pastor said this or did that. None of that will matter in that moment. God gave you everything you need to fulfill your purpose. And He's calling us to a place where we can really stand as a body. I believe on the one end, if we think about the church, it talks about it's got many members. So all of us together as Shofar Church Windhoek, together, we're a part of the body. Together, maybe we are an arm or a hand or a finger, part of the bigger body of Christ. But also there's a lot of other churches out there, and those other churches is also part of the same body. So there isn't like 10 or 50 different bodies because of denominations and stuff like that. There's one body with one head. And I realize, just like we've seen in that scripture, that just like there's some of us maybe in church that's pulling back and that's not as effective as we should be. Maybe in the same sense, there's some churches pulling back, not fulfilling their purpose. But it doesn't make them not part of the body. They're still part of the body. They're still part of the same body. And Scripture says if one part of the body struggles, the whole body struggles. And that's why our purpose doesn't stay only in what happens between these four walls. But our purpose is bigger than that. And that's why it's so important for us also to be able to reach out to other churches and to help and build up other churches so that the whole body can fulfill its purpose. Because in the end of the day, we need each other. And I think when we talk against other people in church, when we talk against other churches, we're talking actually against ourselves. We're breaking down our own body. And God is not pleased by that. See, instead of breaking down, why not rather build up? I believe a lot of times when you see a gap somewhere, it's because God has called you to fill that gap. You know, a lot of times if we look at any church or any organization for that matter, you look at what's going on, you can see, but yeah, there's a gap. Why don't they just do this or that and it's going to be sorted? And you know, a lot of times you see that gap because you're gifted to see that gap. Because God has gave you the ability to fill that gap. That's why you see it. But instead of talking negative about whatever organization and the gaps we see, why not stand up and say, I can help to fill that gap? Because I can see there's a gap. How can we fix this? How can we change this? It's just looking at things differently. Earlier this week, I was in Katima, and I was really just blessed to be there. The reason why I was there is because we're planting a Shofar Institute in Katima Malilu. Now, what a Shofar Institute is basically, it will be a local congregation, although that's almost like not the main focus of Katima, the reason why we're doing that is because we're going to start a Bible school there, but the main purpose of the Bible school is to teach other pastors. Because there's a lot of churches there, and I don't think the answer for Katima is another church. But what we can do is, was being there, you can see the gaps in church, in the churches. So rather go in and help and disciple, might sound funny, but help and disciple those pastors so that they can do a better job where they are busy already. And except for that, because we've got a lot of network churches as well, and the idea is also that Katima will be like the base for us for the network churches of five different countries. That when we do training and stuff for those churches, that they'll be able to come into Katima. It's like when I was in Harare recently as well, I really at some stage thought by myself, but you know, there's so many churches in Africa, is it really necessary for us to go out all into Africa with all the churches that's there? And then I went to Harare, and I think that's really a place where God opened up my eyes to realize what he called us for. Because being there, there were about 100 pastors and church leaders together for that weekend. And we did Foundation 1 with them. Now, those of you that are in show for a while know that for us, that's like the basics of your faith. That's where we're starting and we teach it to everyone that walks into church and so on. And a lot of that was revelation knowledge to those church leaders. And then you understand how necessary it is for us to get involved with other churches. They never have to become Shofar churches at all. But part of our purpose is to pick up the rest of the body. So if we can go out and help those pastors, teach them on how to disciple their people, then something can happen in this world. But it's necessary for us to be able to step out and to fulfill our purpose. Now in Katima, I'm going to tell you a story about a tree. It's the second time I was there now, and it's with a certain group of people that received me, so they picked me up from the airport, and I stayed with them while I was there and everything. And They're not part of Shofar or anything, but that's, again, just the thing that blessed me, is that you've got different people with a different ministry and everything, but they can receive us and help us to start something in Katima, because that's the body working together. And that it was Tuesday morning, they had to go somewhere to some people, and so I was alone there, and I went into the backyard. In the backyard, there's this tree, and this tree got this fruit. Now, they told me they didn't know what kind of tree this is, so I went out, and I was looking at this tree. You can put up that photo, maybe. It's a cashew apple. So on the bottom there is the cashew nuts. The apple at the top, with that they make a juice. Now, interesting thing around cashew apples, I didn't know this stuff, I googled it all. But there's certain countries, I think it was Brazil, what they did is they took the nuts and they used the nuts and they threw away the fruit. But in India, they used the fruit and they threw away the nuts because people didn't know. And with this thing, so I saw this and I thought to myself, well, that looks like a cashew there at the bottom. So I googled cashew tree to see what does a cashew tree look like. And I said, oh, okay, so this is a cashew tree. My guess was right. And googled a lot of things, then took off the fruit. Most of the fruit were on the ground around the tree at that stage. But, so took out of the nut, and now trying to figure out, like I say, how do you get to the nut on the inside? And if I can give you a tip, never put it in your mouth and try and open it. I did. Everything starts to become numb. And the reason for that is it's almost like there's some kind of poison on the nut on the outside to protect it against the birds and the stuff so that the birds won't eat the fruit. So I don't think I'll die or anything, but yeah, just quick tip there for you. So what I did is I used a piece of wood to open it up, got it out, googled everything, and then I roasted the nuts. So when they came back, then they were like roasted cashews. And they asked me, but where do you find the roasted cashews? And I said, there's this tree that's standing in your backyard. It's the roasted cashews. But the interesting thing about it is, to me, a lot of times God will talk to me in things around me, in like nature and stuff. And it was like God just reminded me that, you know, at some stage, someone planted a cashew tree in that backyard. And someone nurtured that tree. Someone gave it water. And for a lot of years, that tree grew in that backyard, with a lot of people involved with that tree. Now, I walk in there, I see this fruit lying on the ground, most of it. And like that, you come to the place where you can enjoy the fruits of this tree. And that, in a sense, is like the picture that I feel that God is telling me that, but this is the picture of not only what church is supposed to be, but what's going to happen in Katima. Because you see, through many years, people planted certain trees. They've been nurtured. They've been watered. And sometimes those people living there, they can't see what's right in front of them. And they need someone to come from the outside just to tell them it's a cashew tree. There's the nuts, taste it. That's a picture of ministry, the picture of the church working together. And no one person involved with that tree is more important than the other one. Because you can do what I did and Google everything and roast the nuts. But if someone did not plant that tree, no nuts. If it wasn't watered and matured during the years, there's no nuts. Every person is as important as the one before you. And that's the way church works. So there's a lot of places that we will go. There's a lot of places that we will get involved in. There's a lot of places that we will see fruit where we haven't planted. And like Katima, for instance, that's full-time missionaries that stayed there for the last 3.5 years, investing their lives into that town. And when we walk in, we're in a place where they can say, but this is what we've built. Carry on from here. See, that's the power of working together as a body. As we don't have to send up an intercession team now to start to pray for Katima. Next year, we're not going to start and try and build relationships with different people for the next 3 years, so that at some stage we can start something there. January, we start Bible school in Katima. Because all the resources and everything for that is already there. Did we plan to receive that? No, we didn't. They did. But we're part of the same body. And that's why I want to ask you the question this morning. How effective are you? Because you see, you can use all the gifting that God gave you, and you can go out and use that gifting, and there will be some fruit. Or you can take that gifting and bring it to the church, and together we take it out. And it will be something completely different. Because for me, it's a picture of that little boy that when Jesus had to feed the people, where he brought his bread and his fish. Now that little boy that morning could have gone to the first row of people. He could have opened up his lunchbox and he has like a piece of fish for you, a piece of fish for you, a piece of bread for you. And at the end of that morning, that first row of people would have had food to eat. And he would have probably would have been able to go home and say, you know, I did this great thing today. I fed some people. I gave away my lunch. That's what could have happened. That's what a lot of us do. Is we take our fish and we take our bread and we go out and we give it away and we come back home and we feel, but yes, I've done something good. You know, God must be proud of me. But what that boy did is he gave it to Jesus. And when he gave it to Jesus, it multiplied in his hands. And he was able to feed a lot more people. Now, when it comes to our gifting, when it comes to us, because you are a gift, you can be like, I almost want to say like a boy that only hand out his lunch. Or you can bring it yourself to Jesus, to that place where you realize that but church is the body of Christ. Church is that place where God want to raise us up and he want to raise other people up through us. When we bring ourselves to Him and say, Lord, here I am, part of your body, use me to build your kingdom. And He will take you and He will multiply you and there will be a lot more fruit. And that's why I think it's so important for all of us to get into a place where we can say, okay, but I belong in church. I need to be part of this. And I really want to say if we talk about church, Shofar is not the only right church. Shofar has got a lot of mistakes and stuff we're working through and struggle with. So I don't believe there's anything like a perfect church. I do think we all need to belong to a church. And if you're sitting here this morning and you're not belonging in a church, ask God where He wants you. And to me, it doesn't matter if it's here, then we'll receive you. If it's somewhere else, then go there. But become part of the body of Christ and allow Him to use you to build His kingdom. Because you see, becoming part is it means that we come into a place where we start to get accountable towards other people as well. Because that's the only way we can grow is if we are accountable to each other. And I really believe that that's the place that God is calling all of us to. Now, if you think about church and about purpose, I said I want to get practical about this. If we think about this church, for instance, where are you involved? I think there's so many things we can do. And a lot of times, if we talk about this, we think about certain giftings and we miss others. If we think about that scripture I read earlier where it talks about administration, and it talks about, where is that verse? Because I'm in a hurry, I'm struggling to see it. Verse 28, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, prophets, teachers, then miracles, gifts of healing, helping, administrating various kinds of tongues, helping, administrating those kind of things. There's so much we can do. I think a lot of times it's like we get technical about this, about, Lord, you know, you must show me, am I a prophet or am I an apostle? Maybe God's just saying, just go help. Just pack chairs or do something. Because remember, not one part of the body is more important than the other. We all need each other to fulfill our purpose. And if we think about church, for instance, this congregation, on Tuesdays we've got Bible school. Now, this coming Tuesday is the last Tuesday. If you want to become part of that group that we're going to go to the end of the year now, this is the last Tuesday you can still join that. But maybe you say, okay, but I really think that God is calling me as a teacher. I want to be a teacher. Well, then still do Bible school. Because you see, if you do Bible school, then through that we can raise you up to be a teacher. And probably next year or the year after that, you'll be teaching. You can ask the other people that's doing Bible school how many different teachers there is. And who is the teachers? Well, it's the people that did Bible school the previous years. So we're using that to disciple people. So on the one end you receive, but on the other end you will give. It's like when I was in Harare recently. Yes, for the 2 days I was there teaching other pastors and that kind of stuff. But in the same place, the reason why I was there was to learn on how to approach other churches. So although I gave on the one side, on the other side I received and I learned. But also the cell groups. You know, I think it's so important in church to get involved in the cell group. It's very difficult to find your place of belonging in church if you're not part of a cell group. Because on church, on a Sunday, we can sit like this and discuss certain things, but everyone is quiet, listening. But if we get together in a cell group, there's opportunity for everyone to share. There's opportunity for everyone to test your gifts and to live that out. Of course, there's intercession. There's local outreaches, the outreaches we're doing through the cell groups that we're busy with the Dutch Reformed Church, with the shelter, for instance. So if you're part of a cell group, it's very easy for you to get involved there. And I know if we talk about being involved with the shelter, a lot of people will say, oh, but it's not my gifting. But you know, in the end of the day, I think all of us, we need to be able to just go and experience it. Because a lot of times we don't know what our gifting is. And we've got misperceptions about certain things. But if you go and you experience it, it might change your life. And that's why I think it's so important for us to get involved in stuff like that. But then, it's like they're in the back. They always need more people to help them. Now, you can say, but yeah, I don't know. I see that thing with all that buttons. I don't know what to do. But they'll teach you. Worship is the same. People involved at the info desk. Facebook. We want someone that can take charge of Facebook and get active on Facebook, for instance. You see what I'm trying to tell you is there's so many things we can do. And a lot of times people will stand up and say, listen, I've got this idea. Can't we do this? Can't we do that? And if it's any way possible, then we go for it. Because we want people to take ownership and to get involved in church. And you see, the reason why, I almost want to say why I'm putting out this invitation this morning, is not, we're not trying to make everyone busy in church. But we're trying to have effective members. Because if we can have effective members, then we'll be an effective church. And that is what God called us for. Because you see, you can come to church for the next 10 years and sit here on a Sunday and through that 10 years be discipled to make other disciples. Or we can start to get serious about this. Where we get an urgency and realize, but listen, this is my purpose. This is what I'm called for. God has called me to reach out to other people. And the only way I can do that is if I allow someone else to disciple me. Like I said in the beginning, that process never stops. The other day I was at the place, like I said, in Harare, where I was giving on the one side but receiving on the other side. This coming weekend, I'm in Zambia. It's the same story there. Because there's a congress, it's a different ministry, but it's people with missionaries from all over the world. There's 800 of Africa, sorry, Africa. There's 800 people together there. Now, I'm not going to teach any of them anything. I'm going to learn from them. Now, I'm going to see, but how can we take hands with them in reaching Africa? Because that's what we're called for. We will always keep on learning. But where are you this morning? Are you an effective member of the body of Christ? Because you're part of the body. You belong here, or you belong in the other church, but you belong in church. So that's why I'm saying you belong here. That's why God has put you there, in that place, in that church where He's put you. But He's got a purpose for you there. He wants you to be effective where you're at. Are you an effective member? And if I'm asking that question, I basically want to know, where are you giving and where are you receiving? Are you in a process where you can say, no, God is really discipling me? And that's not that place where all of us are supposed to have a personal relationship with God. So all of us are supposed to be in a place where we spend time with God and He teaches us certain things. So don't tell me, no, the Holy Spirit's the only one teaching me. Because remember, God said in His Word that He gave the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, all of those, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That's why they're there. It's because God is using them to raise us up. So yes, although God teaches us certain things through His Spirit, we need to be in a place where we are being taught. Where we are receiving. And a lot of times, I think with different ministries, because when I go somewhere, I like, it's not always possible, but I like to take someone with. Just for that fellowship on the one hand, but on the other hand, so that I can share what I'm learning right there. When I go a lot of places, like this coming weekend, I'm going with someone else to learn from him. What he can learn me, teach me. But it's important for all of us to get into that place. We cannot sit in church on Sundays and wait for the church to happen. Because we are the church. It's time for us, I think, to get up and to get involved so that the body of Christ can really become effective. So this morning, not really as an altar call, but I've got three questions, or three groups. The first thing I want to ask is, do you know Christ and have a relationship with Him? Because if you don't know Christ and are not standing in a relationship with Him, then you're not part of the body. And God has called you to be part of the body. He called you with a purpose. So while we're sitting here, I want to ask you, close your eyes, bow your heads, don't look around. Is there any person sitting here this morning that say, I don't know Christ, I don't have a relationship with him? Maybe you're saying, but I gave my life to him at some stage, but I'm not really following him anymore. And this morning I want to return to him. Is there anyone like that? Secondly, I want to ask, are you part of the body somewhere? Remember what I said earlier is you don't have to be, for me it's not a thing about everyone must be part of Shofar. It's not like that at all. But he did call you to become part of the body somewhere. If not with us, somewhere else. And I'm not going to call you forward or anything like that. But I want to ask you, if you are not part of the body somewhere, change that this week. If you want to become part of this church, come to me. We'll get together. I'll answer all your questions if possible. If I don't know the answers, I'll get the answers. If you don't feel that God wants to plant you here, go somewhere else and find a church where you can belong and where you can become an effective member of that church so that the body of Christ can become visible. And then my last question this morning, are you an effective member? If you're part of this church, are you an effective member in this church? Do you feel you're standing in a place where God is helping you to get to a place where you can fulfill your purpose so that the church can fulfill its purpose? I just want to pray for us. Father, this morning, Lord, we just come to you because, Lord, we need you. Lord, we know and we realize this morning, Father, that you've created each of us with a purpose. Because you want to use us to build your church, to build your body, to reach the world. Jesus, when you came 2,000 years ago, you came for the world. But you've established your church and you've sent your church to reach the rest of the world. Lord, when you're coming back, you're not coming back again for the world, you're coming back for the church, your bride. But it is our work to go out and to reach the lost now. But to do that, it's important for us to be discipled and then also to step out and disciple others. So Father, this morning, I'm just calling your church for what it was called for. I'm calling the church to its purpose so that we can fulfill what you called us to do so that you can come back. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, as we go out, Lord, may we all go out as your saints, Father, to reach other people and to make a difference in this world. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to ask you this morning, if you're sitting here and you think by yourself, yes, okay, but maybe I'm not involved here and there is something I can do. At the info desk, there's a list and Esther will be at the info table as well. Go there, tell her, listen, I can do this, I can do that, I want to do this, I want to do that. It doesn't matter what it is. Whether it's admin or Facebook or worship or preaching or whatever, just go there and say, listen, I don't think I'm really fulfilling my purpose, but here I am. And if you don't know at all, then put the question mark behind your name. But just saying, here I am. And the end of the day, the thing we're going for is not, like I said in the beginning, to get everyone to, but now everyone must do something. I think it's time for the church to fulfill its purpose. But it's impossible for this church to fulfill its purpose if its members does not fulfill their purposes. So that's why we're doing this. We're calling you to a place to stand up, to get involved, so that we can do what God called us to do. Amen. Okay, have a great day. While 80% of you will go to that table, there's coffee in the back. So enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Thank you.